The House Oversight Committee had their first hearing, the first of four this week, on
It's quite an interesting spectacle.
Yes, exactly. I guess we're 25% through, at least for this week. And also, the chairman of that committee, Daryl Issa, asked the heads of 23 federal departments and agencies to deliver conference records for the last 7 years. So that committee, at least, is going through all sorts of agency records about who went to what event and how much it cost. So taken all together, what's the likely outcome? How are federal agencies going to react to this?
Well, I think they'll be a bit more careful and a little bit more oversight, particularly on conference spending. But it isn't just conference spending. It's a lot of areas where federal executives and managers, political appointees, should be paying close attention to how much money they're spending and whether their mission can be accomplished in a more effective way. I think that's going to be what everyone's going to be looking at. I think things were a little different a few years ago. I don't think it's quite the same prism that we're running government through the way we look at things.
So do you think that this is going to precipitate or cause agencies to change regulations that perhaps should have been changed?
The regulations are there. There's no question the regulations are there, and people know what the rules are. It's just a question of getting them to follow them. I mean, we're not talking about, there's some judgment factor involved, but by and large, the rules are there, and the oversight worked. I think that's one of the points that was made by the GSAIG yesterday, that in some ways the oversight caught this excess and made it public.
So what should employees themselves in federal agencies, if anything, what should they be doing or what should they be looking for now in light of what's going on with GSA?
Well, that's a really good question. I look at all of the people who must have realized that this conference was getting a little out of control. I mean, it seemed like the excess looks, with hindsight, so obvious. And there must have been a number of employees who were aware of that. So, should those employees have come forward? Is the failure to come forward misconduct? These are very interesting questions because, the reality is that no one likes a whistleblower. And someone who does blow the whistle usually ends up on the wrong side of agency management. So there's a natural pressure to remain silent. And I'm not sure that that's going to be quite as tolerated as it once was. I think employees are going to be expected to step forward and raise these kinds of issues when they see things causing difficulties.
Bill Bransford is a partner at Shaw Bransford & Roth. And Bill, what about the argument that some people might make in situations like this? They were just following orders. They were told to do something. How much of a legal standing does that give you? Or ultimately, the buck stops at you?
Well, if you're just following orders, it's the old Nuremberg defense. I was just following orders. And of course, that was thrown out. You can't follow any legal order. So if someone's told to violate a procurement rule and they follow that order, I don't think that's a good defense. If they know they're breaking a procurement rule, but if they're told, I want to put our priorities in this conference and I want it to be the best conference ever, but I want to follow all the procurement rules, and you say, well, I still think it's, the employee thinks it's excessive. Well, their higher level managers are running the place, and so I think they have to follow the orders that are lawful. But I think they should draw the line where they believe their management's asking them to cross over it.
Bill, just briefly, can we get you to analyze what happened at yesterday's House Oversight Committee hearing when the Region 9 Commissioner Jeff Neely basically took the fifth and wouldn't answer any questions, citing his legal rights, and then the chairman removed him apparently to another part of the hearing where he was no longer at the witness table and was not present to the media. Is that something that is going to help Neely at all if the Justice Department does prosecute him?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen there. And of course, he's in a tough spot because, it's been publicly revealed that the GSAIG has referred Mr. Neely for consideration for criminal prosecution for some of the expenditures. And I think there's also another issue unrelated to the conference that's been referred. So, from a lawyer's perspective, he has no choice but to plead the fifth. And I'm sure there's a part of him that would love to get out there and tell his story. But it's always wise to wait until the Department of Justice has decided what it wants to do with Mr. Neely, if anything, before he says something that might be used against him in a criminal prosecution. I think that's really the only thing that was going on there. And, of course, it doesn't really look good. I think the public reaction to someone pleading the Fifth is you must have something to hide. And that's just not necessarily the case.